Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the breach of contract story when we come back. You know, over the past century, we Americans who were once independent, capable, and able to manage our own financial, medical, and legal affairs have now been reduced to dependence, incompetence, incapacity. And we have now been made wards of powerful commercial, financial, medical, and legal corporations, cartels, and bureaucratic institutions in our modern industrial society. And we've been taught to rely upon these paid professionals. Paid professionals like bankers to manage our financial affairs and doctors to manage and treat our health problems and lawyers to direct our business and legal affairs instead of relying upon our own good common sense. That's why I contend that it's time that we Americans who were once able to catch our own fish learn once again how to fish instead of being fed by our paid professionals. Regaining our power of attorney is the single most important step in regaining our capacity, our rights, our liberties, and our duties. Now, if you'd like to learn more about courtroom strategy and procedure, write to us. The Law School and Esper, our free general law CD package. It's free of charge. That's the place to start. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining, and best of all, it's free. You can call and order one right now. The number's 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. Click onto our archives page, and you can download that free general law CD package right there off of our archives page at georgegordon.org. The breach of contract story. When someone calls the law school, they oftentimes ask, what do you mean when you talk about this breach of contract? Well, a breach of contract is a legal term that means you have not fulfilled your half or your end of the deal. Now, it's very common when you sign a contract to buy an automobile and don't make your payments, they come out and repossess the automobile. The most common way that we breach a contract is non-payment. In fact, in most people's lexicon, non-payment, that is, I didn't pay my payment this month, and they turned off my gas, I didn't pay my electric bill, they turned off my electric, I didn't pay my phone bill, and they turned off the telephone. It's usually over money. This breach of contract in the scripture doesn't have anything to do with money. It has to do with a specific performance. Now, oftentimes people will ask, well, how did I get involved in this contract, and where is this contract located? Well, get your pen and paper out, boys and girls, because we have 82 specific violations under the terms of our contract. And I'm going to go through all 82 of them. We have 133. We're in compliance with 51 in violation of 82. And it's those 82 that we're in violation of that we need to clean up our act and start performing on. Or there's going to be weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. Well, I didn't think of that line, but that was the line that the Messiah gave us. He said weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. So the 82 start off with integration, Christmas, pork, Easter, interracial marriage, unjust weights, witchcraft, sodomy, abortion, adultery, usury, and voting. That's the first 12. That's what I'm going to cover in this program. See if I can get all 12 of these in. Let me give you just a quick background, if you'll write this down. The contract terms are recorded in the scripture. Contract terms are in Exodus 19, verse 16, through Exodus 24, verse 8. That is the content of the tender offer. God himself stood up on the mountain and said, hey guys, gather around, here's the deal. And the agreement on the deal came in Exodus 24, verse 7 and 8. Exodus 24, verse 7 and 8. And your great-great-granddaddy, standing there at the mountain, 84 generations back, said, all that the Eternal has said, we will do and be obedient. Now, there's the agreement. Now, oftentimes somebody will say to me, but I didn't agree to that. Oh, yeah, you did. You did. And in Deuteronomy chapter 30, he tells you that I'm making this agreement with you that stand here this day and those of you who are not standing here this day. And in law, we call that the heirs and assigns forever. Heirs and assigns. We see that oftentimes in contracts, especially for land contracts. We have to waive our rights to a piece of ground and our heirs and assigns forever in order to transfer title of the property. Here it is in Exodus 24, verse 7. He took the book of the covenant and he read it in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Eternal has said, we will do and be obedient. Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people. And he said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Eternal has made with you concerning all these words. Hey, deal's a deal. Now, the deal isn't bad. We have the same kind of a deal with our Constitution. We weren't there at the Constitutional Convention in 1787. But for those of us born here in the United States, it inures to all of the heirs and assigns forever. So the terms and conditions of the Constitution inure to me and you and everybody else. We have a specific duty. We have a duty to specific performance under the terms and conditions of that law. Now, a lot of times people say, well, I don't like it and I don't want to do it. Well, there's a lot of things in life that you don't like and a lot of things in life that you don't want to do, but it's a requirement. It's what duty is all about. Some of us have duties that we don't like, but we do them or perform them anyway. So I'm not here to argue with you about whether or not you want to do it or whether or not you should do it, because I don't care whether you do or not. But I think that everybody should be informed as to what the terms and conditions of the contract are. Your preachers are not telling you the terms and conditions of the contract, primarily because they don't know what they are. They've been to seminary, they've been trained in religion, they're not trained in law, and as a result of that, they cannot give you a legal opinion. They can't even give you legal advice. They don't have any contact, don't have any knowledge, don't have any ability to. They're probably good at religion. I don't deny that thing. Come out there and preach a whale of a sermon, get you real excited and put money in the offering plate, but that's not where your problem is. Putting money in the offering plate is not your problem. It's the failure to specifically perform on these 82 specifics of reciprocity that we owe. That's what's causing us our problems in economics. That's what's causing us our problems in Iraq, Afghanistan, North Korea, and 9.9% unemployment. I mean, you can just take a look at the problems that you're reading about, that oil spill out there in the Gulf and so on. These problems that are coming down on us are a part and parcel with the penal clause to the contract in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. So let's take off here and take a look at number one. These aren't in alphabetical or any specific order. I just wrote them down as they came to my mind. And as I went through my Mosaic Law book, I wrote them down. I jotted them down here and there, and I was driving through the field or driving down the road or up the lane. So they're not in alphabetical order. Now, my Mosaic Law book is in alphabetical order. It starts with Aaronic priests and ends with work. It's in alphabetical order. But for the purposes of the violations or the breaches here, they're not. Integration, segregation, Genesis 11, verses 1 through 9. If you've got a yellow pad in front of you, put down number 1 on the top line, write in the word integration and segregation. And the location for the statute is Genesis 11, verses 1 through 9. Let me read it to you quickly. The whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt therein. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, slime they had for mortar. And they said, go to, and let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into the heavens. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Now the Eternal came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men had builded. And the Eternal said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Eternal scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they were left off to build the city. And therefore is the name of it called Babel, or Babel, because the Eternal did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Eternal scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. From that day to this, we have been working, mankind has been working to reestablish this one world, new world order, one world government, to bring about integration of all the races and all the peoples of the earth. Now, that's not the only statute, it's not the only place in Scripture that talks about segregation, but segregation is the rule of law from the Scripture. I know it is not the rule of law here in the United States and in most places around the world. And that's the problem. We have taken it upon ourselves to deliberately violate this law. As a result of that, we have a breach of contract. We agreed that we would obey God and keep His commandments at Mount Sinai. Now, this deal was done long before Mount Sinai. And you'll notice that God segregated us and told us not to make marriages with the inhabitants of the land. He told us specifically, drive them all out. We didn't drive them out. We made contracts with them called treaties. And then in Judges chapter 2, he said, now listen, because you've done this, I'm going to punish you. Now, as long as you want to practice integration, there's going to be a punishment. There's going to be a consequence to that. So I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm just here to give you the message. Genesis 11, verses 1 through 9 tell you very plainly, don't do that. Number 2 is Christmas. The religious people practice Christmas. In fact, the irreligious people practice Christmas, and I'm not quite sure why. Now, the prohibition is in Jeremiah 10, verses 1 through 6. It's not the only prohibition, but it is certainly the biggest and best. Let's see if I can find Jerry here. Here he is, Jeremiah 10. Here we are. I got Jeremiah. Just be patient with me. Get back here to chapter 10, where it tells us, you hear the word of the Eternal, which the Lord speaks unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Eternal, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, because the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain. For one cuts a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands and the workmen, or of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it moves not. They're upright as the palm tree, but they speak not, and they must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, and neither also is it in them to do good. For as much as there is none like unto you, O Eternal, you are great, and your name is great in might. That's the Christmas tree. Now, that's not the only part of Christmas that we need to avoid. Christmas is a birthday. Birthdays are prohibited. I covered that with you here a couple weeks ago. But in addition to that, this Christmas tree, it has a lot of significant meaning in religion, in the occult, in the mystery religion of Babylon, the thing that the Creator here tells us that He hates. And there's a penalty for practicing this. So, Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 1 through 6, there is a statutory prohibition against Christmas trees, and that includes Christmas. And then if you want to practice it, there will be a consequence for that. Now, the consequence that we're all facing here on a national level is national captivity. That's where a nation like Germany loses the war and then is occupied by their enemies for a period of years, which is what happened from 1945 to about 1952 in Germany. And they've been dominated from that point on for the last, 50, 60 years. Now, that's coming to the United States, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand, and I suspect to most of Western Europe, and maybe or maybe not to Great Britain. They might have paid their dues in World War II. I'm not quite sure, but I wouldn't bet on it. Now, notice that this first prohibition here was integration, segregation addressed to all the people of the world. This Christmas thing is specifically aimed at Israel, all 12 tribes of us, not just the Jews sitting over here, but Israel. All right, the third one over here is pork, Leviticus 11, verse 7. So put down number 3 and then put pig. It's one of many unclean meats, and it's distinguishable from vegetarianism. There's a specific instruction here not to eat this kind of meat. Eating meat is not against the law, but there's only a limited number of animals or fish or birds that we can eat. And our Creator has identified them in two chapters, Leviticus chapter 11 and Deuteronomy chapter 14. So the whole chapters deal with all of the animals. And what the instruction is, or the statutory provision is, if an animal chews its cud and has cloven hooves, it's clean. If it doesn't have cloven hooves, like a horse, doesn't have a split hoof, and doesn't chew its cud, that animal is unclean. Now, Russians and French people eat horses with regularity. Now, we were told not to do that. So, I'm not here to preach a sermon and try to get you to quit. It doesn't make any difference to me whether you do or not. But I don't think anybody's ever explained that. I know that in all of my life, I've had a couple of people come by and say, let me explain that to you. But as a general rule, you're not going to find a preacher that says, hey, listen, let me explain that to you, or Aunt Bessie or Uncle Buster, that can come to you and say, let me explain that. Now, Leviticus 11, Deuteronomy 14, do it. Pork is with specificity identified in Leviticus 11, verse 7. That's the number one unclean meat that human beings eat, and it's the number one unclean food in the United States, and I suspect probably in all of the rest of the Israelite countries. So there's number 3. Let's try number 4. Here comes a holiday. Easter. Easter. It's a violation of Jeremiah 44, verses 17 through 19, where it is with specificity identified so that you can recognize that particular holiday. It comes from Ishtar. Ishtar. If you want a good book on the subject, I gave you a couple of books called Fossilized Customs by Lou White and Come Out Over My People by C.J. Coster. And if you want to get a copy of those two books, they cover some of these, not all of these laws in here, but they'll cover some of them. Easter and Christmas are in them. I don't know if they talk much about pork or some of these other things, but if you want to get a copy of it, go to bravenewbookstore.com, bravenewbookstore.com. Their phone number is 512-480-2503, 512-480-2503. They're in Austin, Texas. They'll get you those two books, Fossilized Customs by Lou White. They'll give you a more detailed explanation and give you some history. Then you can look up these subjects yourself. You know, once you get started, you can go look up Easter in any encyclopedia, Christmas. They'll tell you about it and where it comes from and why. So Easter is a prohibited activity. We're told not to do that in the scriptures, Jeremiah 44, 17 through 19. Interracial marriage. Interracial marriage. It's not very common. If on a scale of 1 to 10, we were being judged on interracial marriage as a nation, we'd pass with flying colors. And that's because only 1% of the people actually practice that. But everybody is in violation of a particular law concerning marriage, which is the marriage license. That's where the nation is really up against it. The marriage license is an act of treason against God, violates the first commandment. We were told not to do that. Now, the marriage license is specifically for the purpose of interracial marriage, which is a matter of fact or practical fact, 99% of people don't actually go through with or carry out. Now, those that have practiced interracial marriage have a penalty to face. In the judgment, you'll have to go talk to the boss and explain to him why you did that. It won't be fatal. You're not going into the lake of fire, in all probability. But there is a potential for that. There is a thing here called the unpardonable sin. That's where people break the law with intent. To give you an illustration, in Exodus chapter 30, there's a statute that tells you how to make a particular kind of anointing oil. Gives you the formula, gives you the recipe. And then there's a specific prohibition against making it. The only people who can make that anointing oil are Levitical and Aaronic priests. They're the only ones. For all of the rest of us out here, we are barred. Now, if someone were to take that anointing oil and go out and make it with intent, deliberately, giving God the finger, that could get you in a lot of trouble. It could get you killed permanently. So I would avoid breaking these laws with specificity. It's one thing to be ignorant of the law. It's something else to do it with intent. Now, one time I had a guy come in here. His name was Dennis, and he said to me, I was better off before I ever heard of you or ever heard of the school. And I said, why do you say that, Dennis? And then he said, well, I was a bead-flipping Catholic, happy as a clam at high tide, doing my thing. And now I'm responsible for my actions, which is precisely what we see in Isaiah 28, verses 9 through 13, and Matthew 13, verses 10 through 17. When the Messiah was asked, why are you speaking to these people in parables? He said, plainly, I'm speaking to them in parables so that they can't understand. Because if they understood, they would be responsible for their actions. And I'm not ready for that yet, and neither are they. So we're not trying to get anybody converted, and we're not here to get you into trouble. But just to tell you that Dennis now, he knows what the law is. He knows what the commandments are. And I said to him, I said, well, before you understood the law, you didn't have any chance of making the first resurrection. I said, now this first resurrection, which is the better resurrection, you've got an opportunity at. Everybody else is coming up in the second resurrection. You've got a better than even chance, if you don't flub the dub. So that's the story that goes behind knowing too much. This isn't for everybody, and I don't say that it is. So I tell him, if this isn't for you, let it lie. Don't get your water hot and don't get excited about it. All right, so that being the case, then let's go on to interracial marriage. Deuteronomy 7, verses 1 through 11 tells us a little story here. Let me get it to you. Deuteronomy 7, verses 1 through 11. He said, when the Eternal your God shall bring you into the land where you go in to possess it, and you've cast out all these nations before you, the Hittites, Girgashites, Amorites, and so on. And when the Eternal your God shall deliver them before you, you shall smite them and totally destroy them, and you shall make no covenants with them, nor show any mercy unto them. Oftentimes, the Battle of Wounded Knee comes up, I think that's the battle in 1890. And the U.S. Army went out there and killed all those Indians out there. People, they look at that and they say, oh, my God. Those people were carrying out the law, and they did it just exactly correctly. Let me read it to you again. I didn't make this up. This is why your preacher can't tell you this. It's politically incorrect. And I don't deny it. But I'm not here to make apologies here for the writer, the author of the scripture. He's a big boy. He can speak for himself, and he is right here. Now, he said, when the Eternal your God shall deliver them before you, you shall smite them and totally destroy them. That means kill them all. You shall make no treaties with them, nor show any mercy to them. You're the executioner here. Now, in chapter 3, it says, neither shall you make marriages with them. Your daughter you shall not give unto his son, and nor his daughter shall you take unto your son. For they shall turn away your son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Eternal be kindled against you to destroy you suddenly. Well, now that we've already done this, we've already made treaties with all the Indian nations, 374 of them. We've already made marriages and assimilated those people into our society. We have already built their totem poles. We have already followed after their gods. And now our Creator, our God, says, now that you've done this, I'm going to destroy you suddenly. When our destruction comes upon us, it's going to be swift and severe. So pay attention to it. You're not going to save the nation, but you could save yourself. That's what this is all about. Can you save yourself? But thus shall you deal with them. You shall destroy their altars, break down their images, cut down their groves, and burn their graven images with fire. Because you are a holy people unto the Eternal your God. The Eternal your God has chosen you to be a special people unto himself, above all the people that are upon the face of the earth. That's all. Do you know what the word all means? The United States and the Western Israelite countries have not been the dominant military, economic, political, and social powers on the planet for the last 400 years for no good purpose. We were appointed and assigned that job. Now, we haven't carried out our mission. We are in breach of contract, and as a result of that, there is a penalty coming down on us. And we're beginning to experience that right now. In verse 7, he says, the Eternal did not set his love upon you nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Eternal loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he has sworn unto your fathers, sworn oath unto your fathers. That's a contract that he has with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and David. And he has fulfilled his end of the contract, and now we are in breach of contract. And has the Eternal brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt? Know, therefore, that the Eternal your God, he is God, the faithful God, which keeps covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repays them that hates him to their face to destroy them, and he will not be slack to him that hates him. He will repay him to his face. I'd submit to you, boys and girls, this is not some guy you want to meet eyeball to eyeball in a dark alley. But that's what's coming. He says in verse 11, you shall therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command you this day to do them. That's our problem. We've been keeping some of them, but not all of them. We're in violation of 82 of them, and that one is number 5, interracial marriage. You can also check this out in Ezra 10, verse 10. All right, now it's the halfway point, and I've got to give you a reminder here that you're listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. That's 8 schools in all. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. And it has our radio log schedule and archives. All of it can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School at 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. 4967. Now, if you're online, go to our website, georgegordon.org, click on to the archives page, download that free general law CD package right there. The sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements, these recommendations that we give don't mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing will necessarily reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour and editorial review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. So if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, then please go to our website. It's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about breach of contract. The breach of contract is a violation of the contract which is recorded in Exodus 19, verse 16, verses 24, verse 8. It's called the Old Covenant. You probably have never heard that before, because if you're religious and you've been to church, they don't teach that in church. And as a result of that, you are in breach of contract. You have violated the terms and conditions of an agreement. And as a result of that, there's a consequence coming out of that. And then the consequence is pretty severe, and the consequences are recorded in two chapters, Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. Breach of contract has a penal clause. And those two chapters are the penal clause chapters, Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. Now for you Christians, and you're looking for a New Testament reference, the penal clause is recorded in the New Testament also. It's in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. And the whole book of Revelation is a graphic description of the implementation of the penal clause from Leviticus 26, Deuteronomy 28, Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. Just in case you were wondering. All right, number six, unjust weights. They're prohibited in Leviticus 19, verses 35 and 36. It has to do with banking. It has to do with money. It deals with credit cards and things like mortgages, interest, usury, economics in general. Churches and church leaders borrow money from bankers, pay interest and usury, and they never tell their parishioners that those mortgages that they have and credit cards that they have and the interest that they're paying or charging, depending upon whether they're the merchants or whether they're the consumers. And as a result of that, people violate these laws ignorantly, not knowing that there are consequences for them. So unjust weights, take a look at where this has led us. The whole world has now degenerated into fiat currency, and we are being wiped out with inflation in this country at the rate of 8%. As I speak, the money that you have in the bank is going to lose 8% of its purchasing power over the next 12 months. That's a hidden tax. It's called the inflation tax. Your government is busily printing more of this worthless money, and they're spreading it around. Your boss pays you with this worthless money every week. You go out and spend and spread this worthless money around every time you buy, sell, and trade. That's against the law. It's a criminal activity, and there's a penalty for it. Number seven, witchcraft. That's a violation of Leviticus 20, verse 27. Now, I want to point out that in most of these cases, like unjust weights, there's another statute in Deuteronomy 25, verses 13 through 16. There are numerous other scriptures, numerous other statutes that deal with these specific laws. But for the sake of brevity here, I'm only going to give you one or two so that I can document it. What I'm telling you is we as a nation here in America, we are in breach of contract. So I'm going to tell you with specificity, here's what the breach is, and there's where that breach is located in the scripture. It's not the only place that it's recorded, but it is one place. Now, if you're of a mind to correct that witchcraft, then, you know, that might be of some value to you. You could correct these breaches, this specific performance, for yourself, your family, and your children. You're not going to be able to do very much for your children once they get to be teenagers. They pretty well, you know, once they get, you know, past the age of about 10, up until about 10, you probably can influence your children. After about 10, 11, something 12 maybe, their minds are pretty well made up from that point on. As the twig is bent, that's the way the tree will grow. Now, witchcraft, there are, I think it's, I only got about 17. I don't have it right in front of me, but I think I've listed about 17 acts of witchcraft. Ouija boards, that's a good one. Those Ouija boards work like a shot. Boy, they're good. But it's demonism, and it's a form of witchcraft, and it's strictly prohibited. Halloween, here in the United States, the second biggest holiday of the year is witchcraft on Halloween. And we dress all of our little kids up, and we send them out in the streets so that they can practice this form of witchcraft. Now, again, as I pointed out, there's a consequence, there's a penalty, you know, that comes down for this. Death is the penalty for witchcraft. Now, not all of these things are contain the death penalty. For instance, things like integration, Christmas, pork, interracial marriage, unjust weights. And voting, number 12 there, voting. Those don't entail the death penalty. God has 28 ways to punish people. Death is certainly one of them. No doubt about that. And there are 24 acts, 24 crimes that carry the death penalty. Death comes in two parts. You've got the first death, that's your physical death, your body here on planet Earth is going to die. Then you have the second death, that's the lake of fire. That's where you're terminated permanently. It's what Hitler used to call the final solution. He really didn't have the final solution. He just had an intermediate solution. The creator of the universe has what he calls the final solution. That's where we terminate you permanently. And death here is a temporary event that lasts until the resurrection, of which there are three of them. And if you're looking for these three resurrections in place of going to heaven or going to hell, which is a fiction, the three resurrections are recorded in Revelation chapter 20. Take a look there and it'll list all three of them for you. All right, so witchcraft over here then, Leviticus 20 verse 27, strictly prohibited. That is a capital felony, in case you didn't know. So far, integration, Christmas, pork. Now, this Easter, that's a violation of the Sabbath. Sabbath breaking is a capital crime. So this missed one. Christmas and Easter are both capital crimes because they take the place of the Sabbaths. Easter is a counterfeit for Passover. Christmas is a counterfeit for the Feast of Tabernacles. Failure to practice Passover and Feast of Tabernacles are two annual Sabbaths which violate the fourth commandment. And as a result of that, it carries the death penalty. So the practice of Easter and Christmas constitutes the death penalty. Interracial marriage doesn't. Integration doesn't. Pork doesn't. Unjust weights does not. But witchcraft does. Number eight is a violation of Leviticus 20, verse 13. It's called sodomy. Sodomy. That's sexual relations between men or sexual relations between females, women, carries the death penalty, capital felony. Here in the United States, most people don't do that. So if we were talking on a scale of 1 to 10, and all we had working against us was sodomy, looking at Sodom and Gomorrah, they were down to where there were only four people in the city that weren't practicing sodomy or weren't in some way connected with it. That was Lot, his wife, and his two daughters. And you'll notice that those four had to be taken out of the city before it was destroyed. Mrs. Lot missed the boat, and she didn't quite make it the whole distance, but she got out of town. She got that far. All right, so this sodomy thing over here, though, on a scale of 1 to 10, if we were to follow the example of Sodom and Gomorrah, only about 10%, now this is a wild outside guess, the sodomites claim that about 10% of Americans are in fact practicing sodomy. If that's the case, well then the other 90% of us aren't. And the Messiah said to Abraham, if there is 10 righteous in the city, I won't destroy it for the sake of the 10 righteous. When he got down to where push came to shove, he couldn't find 10 righteous. And he only found 4, so he went ahead and destroyed it. Here in the United States, if we were using the same criteria, we would need somewhere between 30 and 300,000 righteous men and women in the country to save the whole country. I'm afraid we're going to fall short of the 300,000. We might, on an outside good day, maybe make 30,000. Now, this question came up to Elijah when he was asked, or he asked Big Mike about this. He said, I'm the last guy in Israel to practice these laws. And Big Mike said, no, he's reserved 7,000 that hadn't bowed their knee to Baal. So for you people in Australia, New Zealand, Canada, United States, I'll just bet you there's 7,000 in your country that have not bowed their knee to Baal, be my guess. All right, sodomy, capital felony. Abortion, number 9, capital felony. Leviticus 20, verses 1 through 5. It's called passing your seed through the fire to Moloch. I'll flip over there quickly to it. Leviticus 20, verses 1 through 5. Now, this is a universal crime. This is something everybody does. They get a birth certificate for their children, and then that's where you fell down on the job here. Leviticus 20 tells us, the Eternal spoke unto Moses, saying, again, you shall say to the children of Israel, whosoever he be of the children of Israel or of the strangers that sojourns in Israel, that gives any of his seed unto Moloch, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. It even spells out the modality of carrying out the death penalty. Now, here in America, we don't do that. The civil law state never forgives anybody for anything. Forgiveness of sin is not in the genes of our judicial system or of our political process. Nobody in this country will forgive you one iota. We will carry your record to your grave and long past your grave. And furthermore, there will be no blood shed for you. No blood will be shed for you. Not in the civil law. What we do here in the United States is we kill you with lethal injection, no blood. Electrocution, no blood. Hanging, no blood. Gas chamber, no blood. God specifically says there can be no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. Remember that? Did you learn that in Sunday school, boys and girls? There is no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. He said, I'm going to set my face against that man, and I'll cut him off from among his people, because he's given of his seed unto Moloch to defile my sanctuary and profane my holy name. And if the people of the land do anyways, hide their eyes from the man when he gives his seed to Moloch and kills him not, then I will set my face against that man and against his family, and I will cut him off and all that go a-whoring after him to commit whoredom with Moloch from among their people. Now, this passing your seed through the fire to Moloch in the olden days used to be where you take your daughter and throw her into the volcano. You know, we're going to make a burnt offering, a burnt sacrifice. Maybe you saw that, you know, in the movies. Or they didn't just necessarily throw them in a volcano. They'd take them out, kill them, and then burn them as a burnt offering. And that's just one of your children. That's so that you could appease the gods, and then he would make your wife fertile and give you lots of children. So you had to kill one of them. Now, that is called passing your seed through the fire to Moloch. In the olden days, we only gave one of our children to Moloch. Today, we give them all to Baal. And we do that with the birth certificate by passing our seed to the state. That is, we sign off and give our children to the civil law state. Well, okay, go ahead and do that. You've already done that. It's time to stop doing that. When you take a look at your criminal past, you know you've already done those things. A repentance has to do with let's not do that again. Don't give your next one to Baal. Let's show a little good sense here. All right, now that passing your seed through the fire is called abortion. Abortion. So this thing, you know, going in here and using abortion or passing your seed as the means by which we practice birth control is a no-no. Again, most Americans don't do that. Even the Right to Life people, most of them actually don't physically do that. So again, on a scale of 1 to 10, we could probably get away with our conduct without destroying our nations on that one. But, you know, we're adding up this integration, Christmas, pork, Easter, interracial marriage, unjust weights, witchcraft, sodomy, abortion, adultery, usury, and voting. I mean, you know, when you get down here and you start stacking it all together, you find out that, hey, wait a minute, we're breaking so many of these laws. You know, 10% of our population violates this law, 10% violates another, and 10% does another. And by the time you get 10 laws, collectively, we're in violation of all of them. All right, now adultery. Now, adultery is just boys will be boys. That's a violation of Exodus 20, verse 14. That's having sexual relations with women other than your wives or ladies with men other than your husbands. And that adultery now isn't sodomy. Sodomy is a separate crime, and you're probably not practicing sodomy. So, you know, most of us aren't practicing adultery either. It's common here in the United States, very common, but it's not practiced by most people most of the time. You know, it's kind of hit and miss. You only have to do it once, you know, to acquire the death penalty. But again, we're not regular adulterers. We're just kind of casual part-timers. But it's a capital felony, and you might want to quit doing that. It isn't going to help you any if you keep it up. And if you stop doing it, it might help a lot. Now, number 11 is a violation of Exodus 22, verses 25 through 27. It's called usury. So far, you know, we've got integration number 1, Christmas number 2, pork number 3, Easter number 4, interracial marriage number 5, unjust weights number 6, witchcraft number 7, sodomy number 8, abortion number 9, adultery number 10. We're on number 11, usury. While you're at it, write down voting number 12. That's as far as I'm going to go with this today. 12. I'm going to do 12 at a time. Usury. It's a maverick statute. It's a theft statute. It violates thou shalt not steal. In Exodus 22, verses 25 through 27. But in Ezekiel chapter 18, write that down. It talks about the father is not responsible for the sins of the son is not responsible for the sins of his father. So this concept that you've had, that you learned in church about inherited sin, is a lie. Inherited sin doesn't exist. Inherited sin is a false doctrine taught in the churches, pagan churches, Christian churches. I don't deny it. But it's not a doctrine from the scripture. It's a Christian doctrine. I wouldn't deny that. But then remember, Christians are pagans. How do I know that? Well, because Christians practice integration, Christmas, pork, Easter, interracial marriage, unjust weights, imbalances, witchcraft, sodomy, abortion, adultery, usury, and voting. Christians do all of the above. And what I'm pointing out to you here is that all of the above are a violation of the laws of the scripture. Our Creator told us not to do that. And furthermore, He told your preacher to tell you not to do that, but your preacher hasn't told you yet. Now, I'm not a religionist. I'm not a pope. I'm not a priest. I'm not a pastor. And I'm not a preacher. And I'm not here to preach a sermon. This is not religion here. This is secular law. This is what the law is. This is what you should be practicing. And if you don't, there's going to be a penalty come down. And national captivity is that penalty on the nation. The last one over here called voting, in Exodus 20, verse 3, voting. God, the creator of the universe, this guy doesn't stand for election. And when he comes back, you know, when sweet Jesus comes back, he's not going to be running for president of the United States against Barack Obama or anybody else. When he comes back, he's going to take over by force of arms. There's going to be a bloody confrontation, a god-awful war, which is called the Great Tribulation. And when it's all over and done with, he said, Matthew 24, he said, now if I don't stop you people, you're going to all kill yourselves. So I'm going to step in here, and I'm going to stop that. And when he gets through saving you from yourselves, he is not going to ask you if you approve of him personally or approve of his politics. He really doesn't care whether you approve of him or his politics. So know that much out of the way. The guy is a king. He calls himself king, the king of kings and lord of lords. Kings don't run for office. They don't politic on the stump. They're not after your approval. They really don't care. That's what a monarch is, and that's what this guy is. Now, you Englishmen over there, you're going to have a leg up on us because you know how to bow your knee to the queen. Americans not only have stiff necks, we also have stiff knees. Boy, that's going to be tough, bowing your knee to God when he comes back. It's worse than that. You see, you Englishmen only have to bow one knee to the Queen. You have to bow both knees to God. That's why you normally pray on your knees. Now, there, you know, maybe some of you out there won't have that much of a problem, but most Americans, they're going to choke on that one. And I think that the religious people are really going to choke, really choke. And that's because you just think about this for a minute. How many of the religious people practice integration and loathe and teach against segregation? How many of the religious people out there practice Christmas, eat pork, practice Easter, and approve of, even if they don't practice interracial marriage, they certainly do approve of it. And they practice unjust weights with mortgages, interest, paper money, credit cards. They practice witchcraft every Halloween. Now, they typically don't practice sodomy. The religious people do have a pretty good record there. But they tolerate it. They tell you got to love these people because, you know, Jesus is love. Now, if you look up the word love, love is the keeping of the commandments. For this is the love of God that we keep his commandments. Now, they don't practice abortion for birth control, but they certainly do pass their seed through the fire to Moloch by getting them a birth certificate. That's a capital felony. They'll lose on that one. Adultery, most religious people don't practice straight out adultery. They're pretty good about that. Usury, they fall down again. They're all out here paying usury. They don't have any problems with that. And they're all out here voting and practicing an act of treason against the Creator in violation of the First Commandment. So you might want to think about Exodus 20, verse 3. The next time you go into the polling booth and you want to vote, you might want to reconsider that voting idea. And go back to what we were authorized to practice in 1 Samuel chapter 8 when our forefathers said we want a king like all the nations around us. We ought to get back to our king like you Canadians, Australians, and New Zealanders and Englishmen practice. Queen Elizabeth is the right one. All right. I got to quit right there and remind you that you've been listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. Hey, I'm about out of time. I'm going to have to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, talking about this breach of contract. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.